Party hardy, it's Friday. It's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
It's a KABC Friday night special with special guest host, Billy Baldwin.
Well, 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 I'm so excited and so honored to be here. Thank you so much to the KABC family for having me. This is Billy Baldwin, actor extraordinaire, dad, husband, political junkie, concerned citizen, and I am very, very excited to be here right now. I can't tell you how exciting this is for me. I've been in the business for decades now. I've done a lot of promotion. I've done a lot of press. I've done these satellite radio tours. I've been in these studios many times, never by myself. I am here by myself right now. There's not another soul in the room. This is cool. I feel like the Wizard of Oz. I feel like the man behind the curtain who's controlling all the switches and all the levers. I am very, very excited to be here to chat with you about all things politics, about all things campaign, all things Hillary, all things Donald. We're going to get into some really, really interesting stuff regarding, you know, some of the topical stuff going on in the campaign right now. Hillary's health. Some of the stuff that went on today, of course, Donald Trump's health. Donald Trump's perhaps will get into his tax returns. Some of the other stuff that's been timely and topical in the campaign over the last couple of days or the last week or so. Let me tell you a little bit about myself before we get started. Like I said, I'm a political junkie. I love this stuff. I went to State University in upstate New York, Binghamton University. I'm my proud alma mater. And while I was there, I left school and I interned. I fetched coffee and dry cleaning for a member of the House of Representatives named Tom Downey for about 6 months during Reagan's first term. And that was really cool. When I became a more famous actor, a more well-known actor, I became more of an effective advocate, an activist, if you will. I ran a nonprofit political organization for many years called the Creative Coalition and had a lot of fun doing that. Got a chance to appear on programs like this. I did, you know, Bill O'Reilly, I did Chris Matthews, I did Bill Maher, I did Politically Incorrect, I did Crossfire. So I'm excited to be here today to talk to you, this evening to talk to you. We've got a lot of things lined up. Later on in the show, we're going to talk to Ed Scarry, the media reporter for the Washington Examiner. We'll talk to Ed about what's going on, how the media is handling the candidates, how the candidates are handling the media, and how this all plays out to you, the citizen and the voter, in this election process. A little bit prior to that in the show, we're going to talk to Dr. Kelly Victory, board-certified trauma and emergency specialist. We're going to talk to her about the health of the candidates, why that matters, why that's important, if that's important to you, if that's important to her, and why. And I am very, very excited to bring on my first guest here, and I could talk to her about a lot of different things. This is going to be very interesting. An old dear friend of mine, former president of the Recording Industry Association of America, current political commentator for CNN, partner for the political communications firm SKD Knickerbocker, and believe it or not, former girlfriend of Alec Baldwin. That is right, my brother Alec Baldwin. We have Hillary Rosen on the line. Hillary, thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Billy Love. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Was it okay that I mentioned that last part? Was that okay? Did you lose a couple of followers?
Take it back.
Okay. Listen, there's so many different things that we could talk about.
Let's just say I think he's traded up considering where he is now.
Yes, thank you for that. Yeah. Couple questions for you. First of all, we're in uncharted territory. This is sort of an amazing, if you will, an historic election. It's nothing like anything I've ever seen in my lifetime. You've done this professionally for decades. I think I can say for you, it's nothing like anything and you've seen some crazy stuff go on in front of the cameras and behind the scenes, but this is, you know, an unprecedented election that we're looking at here. I wanted to ask you generally, how do you think we got here? What are the forces how did the planets align that created an environment and an atmosphere that allowed for a presidential election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump?
It's such a great question and such an important big point, because I send this back to, around 2008 when it was kind of the pinnacle of the Republicans aligning themselves with big business and the right wing to try and claim election power. And they did it through Citizens United. They did it through a significant amount of corporate influence, using big money to further a social agenda. So you had big business getting in bed with Republicans, as well as the right wing getting in bed with Republicans. And then the financial crisis hit. And all of a sudden, you had all these middle class and lower middle class Republicans getting angry at the Republican mainstream, who had aligned themselves with the, you know, corporate environment with big money. And they rebelled. And they started saying, wait a second, Republicans in Washington aren't representing us. And so the Tea Party got started. And once you had the Tea Party, you had a sort of a disruption on the right, in some respects, much like you had the disruption on the left for
with
a
Bernie.
Long time after Bill Clinton, that we saw with the Bernie Sanders campaign. But this disruption on the right really ended up sidelining mainstream Republicans to such a large degree that the things that mainstream Republicans had sort of fought for, traditional tax cuts for the wealthy and global trade liberalization policies and aligning with kind of business in an effort to sort of trickle down economic prosperity, all of a sudden was no good anymore. And you had 15 politicians running from that perspective in the Republican primary last year. And you had one guy, well, really two guys, because you could argue Ted Cruz was sort of on that point too. But you had one guy who claimed the mantle more proudly and more broadly than anyone in Donald Trump, the sort of anti-Republican establishment mantle. He didn't bother running against the Democrats the way the rest of the Republicans did in that primary. He ran against Republicans. And he used, as we saw in evidence again today, really kind of racist and xenophobic tactics to appeal to a what I think is a minority of the minority.
But agreed, agreed.
Fueled his campaign in such a way that he won primaries in significant states and built a momentum.
Well, it's interesting because I think there's what I've described as three people voting for Donald Trump: people that are very dumb, people that are very smart, and people that can't stomach or get their head around the idea of voting for Hillary Trump. They don't like Hillary Clinton. Excuse me. There's a long history.
He definitely doesn't want to be his fourth wife.
Yeah, no, and there's people that just can't get their head around supporting Hillary, so they're kind of voting for the lesser of two evils. I want to talk about the people that I think, the people that are really smart, the people that want to sort of, in the Republican Party, that want to Brexit the Republican Party because they are smart enough to know that the system of one man, one vote, representative democracy that the founding fathers, the great experiment of American democracy that they put in place, no longer works. It hasn't worked for a long time. It's been decades now, as you just touched upon, that corporations and special interests have been ruling the roost, and they just can't vote for another inside the Beltway, career establishment candidate. I just think that it's disappointing to me that they're given this incredible opportunity, the opportunity of a lifetime, to blow it up and to recreate the future of either the Democratic or the Republican Party, and the best they could do was come up with Donald Trump. And I'm just stunned. I watched the first debate. The first question he took, he leaned down and he looked at Rand Paul, and he made fun of his appearance. He made fun of his hair. He made fun of his face.
Yeah.
And from there, it's really kind of gone downhill for me. It hasn't been about policy. It hasn't been about specifics. It hasn't been about substance. It hasn't been about the roadmap on how we're going to get us there. I'm just wondering what your opinion is on that, about this long history of Americans getting hip to the fact that corporations and special interests run the show, and they want to blow it up, much like Brexit in England.
Well, and I think the unfortunate part of the, what you're saying is, look, there is a discussion to be had with Republicans about how to support the middle class, right, and how to support jobs and how to support growth. After all, we know it is business that creates jobs. Look, I'm a liberal Democrat, but I'm still a capitalist. I still think our system is better than any other system in the world. And so, but I think you can operate it and regulate it responsibly. I think what we saw with Trump and the Republican primary is that it was not a primary of ideas. It was a primary of insults, primarily because it was such a crowded primary that and he was getting so much media attention by, you know, insulting Rand Paul, insulting Marco Rubio, insulting Jeb Bush, and essentially trashing other politicians. It was working for him, and it sucked all the air out of the room. What you did see with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary was really just a constant clash of ideas and a discussion of ideas. And I know that, you know, I know from that Hillary Clinton's biggest regret right now, in, you know, as we in September of 2016 in a very consequential election, I know her biggest regret is that we are not spending time in the media talking about the issues and policy differences between these two candidates, that we are talking about, you know, theater.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about your relationship with Hillary just briefly. I have a couple more questions for you. Tell me about your relationship with her.
So I've known the Clintons for about 35 years. I had
since Little Rock.
I had a close mentor of mine, a woman that you know too, Billy, Liz Robbins. I worked for many years ago, who had been a colleague of Hillary's, working on children and family issues 35 years ago. So we worked on foster care. We worked on child care services. We worked on family leave policies. All of those issues that really have defined Hillary Clinton's career until she got to the Senate and then the State Department. And the Clintons are relationship people. Hillary is a friend's friend. She's loyal, she's smart, she's engaging. She was always attentive on policy, much more interested in policy than politics. You know, and funny, in those early years, you had internships on the Hill. I had, you know, was a young staffer in those early days. My job would be kind of to hang around and babysit Chelsea while everyone else was talking about how they were going to change the world. It was an amazing experience to be a part of.
We've got a couple minutes, then we're going to go to a break, but I really want you to stay with me to come back from the break, because there's a couple really important things that I want to talk about regarding Hillary and the upcoming debates. Could you share with us something that you think would be important for us to know about Hillary that that nobody knows? I'll tell you a funny story. My brother Alec did a fundraiser. I'll tell you a funny story about the Clintons that nobody knows. My brother Alec did a fundraiser for the Clintons. He had about a couple hundred people in his house in the Hamptons, and he had 1,200 people in a tent outside. So the VIPs were in the house. The high roller donors were. I don't know if you know what happened that night, but they asked. President Clinton had to use the men's room, and my brother Alec instructed Secret Service to go upstairs and use his private bathroom in his master bedroom in the house in the Hamptons. Do you know what happened when he went upstairs to the bathroom?
I don't.
He walked into the bathroom, and my mother was in the bathroom. Now, that's probably about 20 years ago. She's 60. She's 86 now. She's 66 now. He walked into the bathroom. Let's just say my mother was in the bathroom. And it caused a slightly embarrassing moment there for everyone involved. So I'm glad you were there. I was not there. I was away on location doing a movie.
Baldwin family lore. That's awesome.
And listen, just could you share with us something about her, just a little anecdote or a moment in time or a moment in your relationship that will give us some insight to what she's like as a person? And when we come back from the break, I want to discuss that further. But tell us a little bit about that, because I want the people to. This is one of the challenges for Hillary. I think she's got to start to open up and make herself more accessible in this way. But share with us some one of your favorite anecdotes, one of your favorite moments with her that will reveal who she truly is.
Sure. There are so many. When I and my former partner adopted our kids, we adopted them in Texas, and we were a lesbian couple. We weren't certainly by any means the first, but
it was early on, and it was unusual. And my partner at the time was the head of the Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest gay rights organization. And the Clintons were friends of ours, and we spent some personal time with them, of course, over many years. And
Hillary, we can't hear you that well.
The right wing went after us on radio. Somehow word had gotten out that we were adopting children. The right wing went after us. I don't know if you remember somebody named Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Of course.
On right wing radio went after us and started essentially a jihad against us adopting children. So it was, you know, we kind of went to a court. We made it all legal. We snuck out of Texas in the dead of night and came home with our new baby, so excited. And one of the first phone calls we got was from Hillary Clinton saying, God bless you, you know, come to the White House. We want to see the kids. Like, we're so proud of you.
Mm.
That she was first lady at the time. They have a million things to do, but they had heard about what, you know, we had gone through to try and have a family. And and she reached out. That is just the kind of person she is, that she doesn't just care about her family or my family. She cares about family policy and what makes things better. And, you know, just from the earliest days, she was always there to kind of support people and use her influence and leverage to do what was right.
Hey, we're going to go to a break, Hillary. Hold on. I want to touch upon this on a deeper level. So stay with me for a minute. It's just a couple-minute break. We're here with Hillary Rosen. We're going to be taking some calls. I will, after we're done with Hillary, 800-222-5222. This is Talk Radio 790 KABC. Call us at 800-222-5222. Hillary, you're the best, and I'm looking forward to talking to you after the break. Be right back. Hey, this is Billy Baldwin. This is the Friday Night Special on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I hope you're going to be with us. We got a lot to talk about. 800-222-5222. Again, 800-222-5222. I'm here with my guest, former president of the RIAA and CNN political commentator Hillary Rosen, an old friend of mine. Hillary, we've only got a few minutes. I wanted to ask you, I remember when Gore was prepping for the debates against Bush, Tom Downey was helping him, who I interned for, was helping him with his debate prep. And he said to me, what did you think? And I said, you know, I feel like this is very self-serving, but I feel like Al Gore needs an acting coach, because the Al Gore that I know in real life when I'm in the car service heading from one event to another shows this side to his personality that I want to see when he's on CNN. I want to see when he's giving his speech. I want to see when he's speaking at a rally. And instead you get this sort of wonkish, you know, I want to put it in a lockbox. And I, when you get in the car and you go to the next event, you get this other side where he's more relaxed and he makes sort of fun comments. And you saw it in the Oscars when he did, when he won the Oscar for Inconvenient Truth. He like let his hair down. He grew a beard. It was like, if the American people got to see that Al Gore, we wouldn't have had it come down to hanging chads in Florida. There's a part of me that feels that Hillary Clinton suffers from this a little bit too. There's a public persona that's not impenetrable, but there's another side to her that her closest friends and family get to see that the American people want to see a little bit more of. They want her to be a little bit more accessible, a little bit more humanized, and they want to see what you get to see all the time in your personal relationship with her. Do you agree with that? And what do you think we should look for from Hillary from now to Election Day, particularly in the debates in that regard?
I do think it's difficult, you know, when you have been in the public eye as long as she has, and she not to be a little more defended, not to have some walls. She herself recognizes this. I thought she did an interesting interview last week.
Speak up a little bit for me, Hillary.
And she recognized this when she talked a little bit last week about how she had put up some walls when she was in college and law school. She didn't want the guys to feel like she was insecure, so she didn't let her feelings show through. And that she knows that she does some of that on the campaign trail. And I think it will be her challenge in this debate against Mr. Personality. you know, he is constitutionally, Billy, incapable of hyperbolic self-aggrandizing. He cannot brag. And when you are running against a guy who is spending virtually his entire campaign bragging whether he has achieved what he said he has achieved or not, it makes the contrast even starker. So I think that her strategy is going to be worrying less about trying to compete with him on theater and being a little more relaxed and engaging and warm and passionate about the issues that she cares about, like the policies for children and families, like how the middle class is going to get ahead, like education. That actually is the stuff she cares about. And even if she just lets the American people see a little more of her passion around the issues, I think that will serve her well.
Yeah, it's a tough act to follow when your husband served for two terms and he was so good. After the reelection convention for Barack Obama, they ran a poll online that said, elect Mitt Romney president, reelect Barack Obama, or amend the Constitution to allow Bill Clinton to seek a third term. And Bill Clinton won that poll for about 2 weeks after that speech. That's how good he is. She should take some pointers from him. He's been supremely comfortable and confident throughout his entire public life. And you know, in the age of Joe the Plumber, where people talked about George Bush and said they voted for him because he seemed like the kind of guy you'd want to have a beer with. You know, unfortunately, the American public want to see a little bit more of that, and I'm hoping that you can show it from now till Election Day, and especially in the debates. Hillary Rosen, thank you so, so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Yep. I love you on the radio, Billy.
Thanks so much.
Super lucky.
Yep. Thank you. Hey, listen up, everybody. 800-222-5222 after we come back from the break. Hey, this is Billy Baldwin. This is the Friday Night Special for Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're going to be taking your calls, 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Talking about all things election, all things Trump, all things Hillary. We've got some cool guests on here. We just had Hillary Rosen, who is a CNN commentator and the former head of the president of the RIAA. And we've got two other guests here tonight with some very cool names. We've got a gentleman named Eddie Scarry, who sounds like he should be the lead guitarist for like an 80s hair band or punk band. But he's actually a media reporter for the Washington Examiner. And we have Dr. Kelly Victory. Dr. Kelly Victory is board-certified trauma and emergency specialist. And I want to talk to her about some very important issues regarding this campaign. I want your calls on this, too. We're going to both talk with Kelly Victory, Dr. Victory, that is, to you, about candidates, their age, their health. Why is it important? Should it matter? Does it matter to you? Let's bring on Dr. Kelly Victory. Welcome, Dr. Victory. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, great to be with you.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in Colorado, my home state.
And is that where you're from?
I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, of all places, but I've lived in Colorado for the last few decades.
I just went to the convention at Cleveland. I've been to many an RNC and many a DNC. That was actually quite a spectacle, I have to say. I saw things at that convention that I've been to the convention since 1988, and to see Ted Cruz get booed off the stage like that was something I'd never seen before, and to see the delegates chanting, "Lock her up, lock her up," was another thing that was kind of obviously very different, but almost sort of bordering on disturbing to hear the delegates doing that. I would expect something like that at a rally on the streets or something, but not at the convention. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you about all of this. Anything that I'm commenting on, jump right in there, Dr. Victory. But I wanted to ask you about this issue in the campaign. I think it's very important. I think it matters. The Democratic Party elected two of the youngest presidents in American history, that being Bill Clinton and then, of course, Barack Obama. We now have a candidate who's 70 years old, and I believe Hillary Clinton is 68, soon to be 69. There's been some questions about both of their physical preparedness and about their health, and I wanted to talk to you about why this is relevant, why it's important, why it matters to you, and why it should matter to the American people.
Well, I think it's incredible. It's very important. The health and wellness of the president is important for obvious reasons. We are putting an insane amount of time and effort, money into the electoral process, And I think that the American people have a right to trust that the person that they are sending to that office is going to be capable of performing the duties to which they are elected. That said, I don't think that there's any particular age, for example, that would preclude somebody from being president. I don't care that somebody's 69 or 70 or 75, frankly, for that matter. What does matter is their capacity to serve for the term for which they're elected. And I think what's happened in this particular election process is that we have one candidate, namely Hillary Clinton, who has had a number of incidents that have caused people to question whether or not she has some past or current medical condition that would preclude her from doing that.
Yeah, I saw the video. It was very startling coming out of the Ground Zero event. You know, apparently she's got walking pneumonia. Apparently she was dehydrated. Apparently it was very hot. Apparently she was, you know, grinding on the campaign trail, obviously, for many days and many weeks. And it finally took its toll on her.
I would argue with just, if you will, with the idea that when you're saying that obviously she has this, I will tell you that's the story that's being told. Now, you know, in the spirit of full disclosure, Hillary Clinton is a woman who I've never met, let alone examined as a clinician. You know, so let's get that right out there. I've not examined this person. But I will tell you that after 25 years as a practicing physician, as an emergency and trauma specialist, I certainly have seen an awful lot of people with pneumonia. I've seen a lot of people with neurologic issues. I've treated a lot of patients in my day. And I will tell you that the story that's being told from my perspective from the Clinton campaign is not consistent with the objective facts, with what we're seeing. You know, this is, pneumonia doesn't make you sort of, you know, pass out and then come to, you know, minutes later. It just doesn't fit. So, you know, to use two incredibly, probably the two most overused words in the, you know, current lexicon, transparency and narrative, I will tell you that there's a lack of transparency and an attempt to stick with a particular narrative with this campaign that I think simply doesn't fit the facts.
So, you know, I've suffered from dehydration. I also have occasionally serious bouts with vertigo. And it's embarrassing because there's been a couple of times where I've been down on the floor, crawling on my floor, and I wasn't able to get up off the floor, not because of dehydration, but because of vertigo. It seems to me that perhaps walking pneumonia may not reveal itself with those types of symptoms, but wouldn't dehydration, if she became lightheaded and lost consciousness and nearly passed out?
Well, here's the issue. There's no question that a number of illnesses can cause you to pass out, including pneumonia or dehydration. The issue with either of those is you aren't fine. If you're sick enough with pneumonia that you're going to pass out, or sick enough with dehydration that you're about to collapse, 3 to 5 minutes before that, you're not shaking hands and kissing babies. You're not well. What happened to Hillary Clinton? And as I said, I was not a woman I've examined, but I've seen the video. She was well, then had some acute transient episode, was not well, was essentially unconscious and had a flaccid right leg, and then somewhere between 60 and 90 minutes later was outside on the sidewalk in front of her daughter's apartment in Manhattan, again well. So this was a very transient episode that doesn't go along with acute dehydration
quickly,
or, you know, a bad infection that would cause you to collapse.
I'm with Dr. Kelly Victory here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk to me about Donald Trump's health. I know he's been diagnosed as being overweight, and I know he's a connoisseur of fast food. And I want to ask you about the recent letter that was issued by his doctor. I know that's a little bit of old news. It was about 2 weeks ago, but this letter that was issued by his doctor that said he would be the most fit president, the most fit candidate to ever seek the highest office in the land. What was your take on that?
Well, which I think is patently absurd. And, you know, again, I think, you know, whether or not somebody has a medical issue or is obese. You know, Hillary Clinton is also, you know, overweight, over what her ideal body would be. And those things really, I don't think, they certainly don't matter to me as a voter, let alone, you know, and I don't think that those are the things that are really germane to the discussion. It, by the way, I also don't believe that either candidate should be compelled to be releasing their medical records. From my perspective, I find that actually insulting. You know, it is nobody's business whether any candidate, as far as I'm concerned, as a physician and as a voter, whether or not any candidate has a history of, you know, gallbladder disease or had impacted wisdom teeth or had a miscarriage or had, you know, an appendicitis. What's important to the American people, I think, is whether or not there is any medical condition, past or current, that would preclude that person from carrying out the duties to which they're being elected. So I don't think that Donald Trump's, you know, BMI, his body weight in the ideal range. Perhaps not.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have high cholesterol? Perhaps. I don't know. Again, these aren't medical records that I personally have seen, but I don't have any reason to believe that he's not capable of serving. Furthermore, you know, FDR was in a wheelchair from polio.
Yeah. Different time, a different age.
Kennedy had Addison's disease.
Yeah, he had Crohn's disease too, I think. Listen, Dr. Victory, we're gonna go to break for a second. We want to keep you on. Stay with us. We're gonna try and take some calls too. This is Billy Baldwin, Friday Night Special on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Give us a buzz, 800-222-5222. Again, 800-222-5222. We're on with Dr. Kelly Victory talking about the health of the candidates going into the final push towards Election Day. You may laugh, Alec Baldwin, but I was always mom's favorite. You know it. I know it. Now the world knows it. This is Billy Baldwin, Friday Night Special on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're looking for your calls, 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. I'm on the phone with Dr. Kelly Victory. We were talking about the health and wellness of the candidates, both of them experiencing some issues. I think Hillary Clinton more so than Mr. Trump. It's been a more prevalent issue for her. I'm curious to know too, Dr. Victory, if there's something else going on there, and should she be transparent? Should she share that with the American public? Is that important for us to know? I personally feel like I don't need to see all of her personal health records, but I would like to know that she is fit for the office and that she's good to go for at least 4 to 8 years. And we were just talking to that about with Dr. Victory. Dr. Victory, let's talk about that too. But you say you don't support the releasing of the health records, but you do support making sure that the candidate is fit for office. How do we do that short of revealing the records?
And you're right. So I guess what I'm suggesting is that it's appropriate to release some limited portion. The idea that you should have to release all of your, quote, medical records as if it's the American public's right to know the ins and outs of your personal health details, I think is patently absurd. On the other hand, when you've had something legitimately, and Hillary Clinton, let's face it, has had not one, not two, not three, but a multitude of events over the past 5 years that have called into question whether or not she's got some underlying health condition. We have many, many pieces of video footage that show her being assisted, for example, walking up a flight of steps, a couple of steps, something that a 68-year-old woman should be expected to be able to do. I live in Colorado. I live in Colorado where 80-year-olds, you know, mountain bike and, you know, snowboard and are out there. So, 69 is not old, but Hillary Clinton has been in a position where she's had a number of serious health events over the past 5 years, not the least of which was a significant blood clot in her brain. And she is now on blood thinners. We know that. So I think that when you watch somebody become incapacitated, and that's where I think this really becomes concerning to people or should be concerning to the American public, she had, you know, an episode on 9/11 where she became incapacitated. She passed out and needed to be lifted into a vehicle. If the president of the United States is incapacitated, that starts a chain of events which is going to require transfer of power to somebody else. In this case, it's going to be her VP candidate, you know, Kane. So, you know, we're talking about some serious stuff. We're not talking about whether somebody's overweight and therefore might be at a higher risk for a heart attack. We're talking about somebody who is not capable of performing the functions to which they've been elected.
So we'd like to see them examined in a way that is transparent enough to make the American public feel confident in their capacity and their abilities to lead. But a lot of this other this personal stuff about my health that I would never want, the stuff I would talk about, the stuff I wouldn't want to talk about. So if she was on anti-anxiety medication when she was 35 years old, that's not something we need to know. But is she fit enough to hold the highest office in the land? We need to know that. So, well, I really appreciate you being with us, Dr. Victory. I'd love to get on the air with you another time and talk more stuff beyond medication, beyond medicine and the health of the candidates, because the KABC, the staff here, describes you as a real political animal. So I'd like to get into some of the stuff.
About anything political.
yeah. I want to get into some of the other stuff with you. We'll do it another time when they have me back on. We'll call you back.
Would love that. Okay.
That was Dr. Kelly Victory, and I'm Billy Baldwin. This is the Friday Night Special on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Let's get some callers going. Who wants to go at it? Let's take off the gloves. Let's get the hands dirty. Let's talk politics when we get back. Hey, this is Billy Baldwin, and you're listening to the Friday Night Special on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're looking for your calls, 800-222-5222. Right after this break, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to former 80s hair band lead guitarist Eddie Scarry, now currently media reporter for the Washington Examiner. I'm kidding. With a name like Eddie Scarry, he sounds like he played for a metal band in the 80s. I'm telling you right now, Eddie Scarry. We're going to have Eddie Scarry, media reporter for the Washington Examiner. Hey, you support Hillary?